Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tomorrow is the celebration of the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Just to help prepare our minds for that, I'm going to speak about Srila Prabhupada in terms of his outstanding achievements. Now, to be a pure devotee of Krishna doesn't mean that one has to do so many things which can be seen and quantified, but we tend to take that as being very important. We wouldn't, or let's put it this way, materialistic people are impressed by the achievements of others, achievements that they can see. So Srila Prabhupada's achievements, even from a materialistic point of view, were outstanding. I'm going to speak loosely based on an article by Paritrika Ananda Prabhu, one of my godbrothers. After a lifetime of pure... We tend to think of Srila Prabhupada's great achievements beginning with him coming to the West, but he had, prior to that, spent a lifetime of pure devotion to Krishna. And in 1965, at the age of 70, when most people, or almost everyone, is just retiring and fading away, Srila Prabhupada left India for the first time ever, alone, with no institutional support. He knew no one in America, he just had one contact of someone he'd never met. He had the equivalent of about $7, which anyway, it was, he couldn't use it because it was not convertible currency. He went by the only means he found available to himself, on a cargo ship. He traveled. He suffered two severe heart attacks at sea and eventually reached America. Within 1 year, starting with the beginning of nothing, just himself going there, within a year he officially established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness with just a very few disciples who at the time had very little understanding of even what it meant to be a disciple. He went through much, much struggle in his first year, and he continued to struggle for Krishna throughout his sojourn in this material world. He was not the first guru to come from India to America. In fact, there was a rush of so many gurus coming from India to America. The word guru became embedded in the English language around that time. But amid so many bogus gurus, he showed by his personality, his purity, and his teachings. What it actually means to be a guru. He established that. And that was a time also of a lot of interest among a certain section of the population in the Western world, a lot of interest in Eastern spirituality, for want of a better term. And he showed, he brought what is the real essence of Vedic culture. He brought the best gifts of India to the West, the best that India has to offer. In the Western world, at a time when people were thinking that God is dead or irrelevant, he introduced them to Krishna, the full conception, the full understanding of the meaning of the term God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He introduced them to the personality of Godhead and showed the Western world that God is very much alive and very much relevant. He showed what is real spirituality. People tend to think of it as some mystic, otherworldly state, something like a drug-induced state. That was quite a common misconception at the time. But Srila Prabhupada very practically showed that spiritual life, and even human life, begins with regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. His spiritual life wasn't some fuzzy floating in some imagined light, but it began with practical directions on how one can understand and experience God in one's life. He did this in a time, well, anyway, the whole Western world is hedonistic, which means very much addicted to sense gratification. And particularly, he came and preached this message of no illicit sex, no intoxication, at a time when free sex and the use of hallucinogenic drugs was a major part, inseparable part of the hippie counterculture. Unprecedentedly, amazingly, he made Westerners into first-class Vaishnavas, pure devotees, and Brahmanas, following the regulative principles of spiritual life, rising early every morning, dedicating their full life to Krishna, keeping clean. He made even some of them sannyasis, practicing more strictly the principles of spiritual life even than most Indians could imagine. I say he brought the Indian culture, it was unimaginable at a time when Indians were giving up their mode of dress. Nowadays you hardly see anyone wearing a dhoti. And to wear a dhoti in India now means you're someone religious. But it was still fairly common, but it was being given up. But Srila Prabhupada had the Westerners dressed like that, and he gave them, he gave what we can call Indian culture, Indian food, Indian clothing, Indian religion. Srila Prabhupada initiated, we have a record now of about 4,800 disciples, mostly from the West, but from all over the world, from different races, linguistic groups, different ethnicities, and from all kinds of different religious backgrounds, including atheists. He had disciples from Hindu background, but mostly from Christian and then Jewish, and he had some from also from Sikh, Parsi. I don't know if there are any Jains, maybe there were. And Buddhist, well, maybe you could include the some Japanese, Malaysian Chinese, Singapore Chinese, so they could be counted as, so all different backgrounds. He sent his disciples from the Western world, especially, sent them all over the world, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And it was unprecedented all over the world, in the major cities of the world, Western people chanting the names of Krishna. He brought the Sankirtan movement to the world, fulfilling the prophecy, or making a major step in fulfilling the prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said his names will be chanted in every town and village in the world. Even when his movement was very young in America and Canada, he was very eager to send his disciples to establish something in London, which they did. And by contacting George Harrison of the Beatles, one of the most famous musicians in the world at the time, they were able to make a recording of the Hare Krishna mantra, which became one of the most popular songs in the world at the time. It became the fastest selling of any of the Apple Corporation's records. Apple Corporation was the record, the company which produced the songs of the Beatles. And the Beatles songs, as soon as they were released, they sold like anything. They'd be released and next week they'd be number one in the charts. But the Hare Krishna record became the fastest selling of all. And I remember myself as a child hearing that, it would be on the radio all the time. And then even by this recording, without even the devotees going all over the world, this recording went all over the world. Did you hear it in your childhood? You didn't, it already passed over by that time. Yeah. But even in Germany and Japan, Australia, South Africa, I've got written here, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, no one could go for preaching to Czechoslovakia at that time, but the record went. So in this way, very quickly, the Hare Krishna chanting by the devotees going out in public, which created a sensation wherever they went. It was something just so strange. And then it looked so strange. And then when the newspaper reporters and people would ask, well, what are you doing? And they say, well, we're chanting the names of God and we're following these principles and have the shaved heads. And it was sensational. It was... Even if you take it as a publicity stunt, it wasn't meant like that, but it really captured the attention of people. And then with this recording, very quickly, Hare Krishna, these words became known widely all over the world. According to his according to the astrological prediction that had been made about him at the time of his birth, and according to his desire, he established 108 temples of Krishna on 6 continents, or centers of the Krishna consciousness movement. He installed deities of Sri Sri Gaurinitai and Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, all over the world, which is really not part of Western culture at all. It was really another cultural beacon head that such a thing could be taken up by Westerners, that they could so faithfully worship the deities. He personally trained them in deity worship. In 1 year in particular, between 1970 and 1971, 32 new centers, that's almost 3 every month, were opened. That was the real expansion time at that time. Again, fulfilling one of his childhood dreams, he inaugurated the Rath Yatra festival of Lord Jagannath in major cities all over the world, bringing God to the people. They may not like to go to the temple, but he brought God to them. And it's really bold to have Jagannath. Who is this? Is God, this Supreme Lord. It's difficult for you to imagine how culturally, what shall we say, incongruous that is in the Western world. Nowadays, the devotee is saying we have to get in line with the culture so people can appreciate, but pretty much everything Srila Prabhupada did was culturally, not just incongruous, but it was like a punch in the face or something like that. It was so much against their culture. In bringing Krishna consciousness to the world, Srila Prabhupada made certain adjustments that even in India were considered, at the time, they were considered by many to be almost scandalous, particularly his institution of the Brahmacharini ashram, allowing women to live in the same as ashrams as men, not in the same rooms or the same apartments, but seeing that in the Western world women have no proper shelter, even materially, what to speak of spiritually, he gave them this opportunity. And he also introduced Vedic marriage, the Vedic concept of marriage. In 1967, he encouraged his disciples in establishing an incense business to financially support the temples. Within 4 years, the business, which was called Spiritual Sky Incense, was generating an annual revenue of $1 million, which is a lot more nowadays. $1 million was really a lot of money. It's still a lot of money, but it was a huge amount of money in those days. So from nothing, from having nothing, the business started from nothing and was $1 million business. He introduced spiritual food unheard of in the West. The distribution of prasadam. And this in particular was a major point in bringing many people to Krishna consciousness. The prasadam was so attractive that... that's another thing Srila Prabhupada brought. He didn't bring vegetarian sandwiches. He didn't introduce vegetarian sandwich prasadam, but he gave decidedly Indian-style food offered to Krishna. He gave chapatis and puris and ladu and kheer and gulab jamuns and various chutneys and spicy sabjis and pushpana and all kinds of... Oh, and halva, that was the H-bomb for destroying people's material attachments. And and the idea of giving away sumptuous vegetarian food massively at festivals. They'd hold festivals in the Western world and feed thousands of people. Just unheard of. No one did anything like that. At San Francisco, the first Rath Yatra was 1969. They fed thousands of people. And no one ever did that. He created the world's first network of vegetarian restaurants. Of course, there are a lot more than vegetarian, but it can be seen as that. He went around the world. He traveled around the world. In old age, he traveled tirelessly throughout the world, preaching the message of Krishna consciousness. 14 times he circled the world in 12 years. If we say 65 to 77, although his traveling didn't really begin in earnest until the late 1960s. And wherever he went, he spoke pretty much daily, once if not twice, on the teachings of Krishna consciousness. Perfect lectures, completely lucid, structured, although he didn't prepare, almost always he didn't prepare any lectures. He just gave them. He had the presence of mind to purchase a tape recorder. Even when he had no followers and practically no money, he purchased a tape recorder. And with this, we're able nowadays, because of that, to avail of thousands of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. And later on, his disciples had the good idea to record his conversations also, although many of his conversations, the recordings are unfortunately lost. But we do have still about 1,500 recordings of Srila Prabhupada's talks and his kirtans. No, wait a minute. There are over about 3,000 of his lectures recorded, and about 1,300 of his conversations. Conversations he had with disciples, formal interviews with newspaper reporters, and philosophical discussions with many religious dignitaries, scientists, various intellectuals and politicians, He met with various world-famous people. Many of them you may not have heard of now, but at the time they were very prominent people. Well, Indira Gandhi, you have heard of. Allen Ginsberg, Ravi Shankar. There was another Ravi Shankar who, before the one who's a guru, so-called, based in Bangalore, there was another who was famous in the Western world as a sitar musician. Alice Coltrane was a famous musician. John Lennon and George Harrison were very famous, so he met with them and spoke with them. He revived in the Western world the magazine Back to Godhead, which he had started in India in 1944. In the mid-70s, at the height of its circulation, there were over 1 million copies a month being produced in English alone. In India also, Srila Prabhupada made a major impact, building temples, especially in Bombay and Vrindavan. He started a project for a spiritual city at Mayapur. In this way, he revived the glories and the spiritual culture of Vrindavan and Mayapur, and made pilgrimage sites to which people travel from all over the world. Srila Prabhupada inaugurated the Life Membership Program, by which people can give a contribution and receive sets of Srila Prabhupada books, which enrolled some few hundred thousand life members. He made schools to revive the old system of Gurukul, by which children could, from an early age, be trained in the principles of God consciousness and saved from the slaughterhouses of modern education. They slaughter these spiritual aspirations of children. Srila Prabhupada was active practically in all spheres of human culture. He founded the Bhaktivedanta Institute with the specific aim of addressing the misplaced intellectualism that was misleading the world, especially in the form of atheistic science. So his aim was to, in establishing the Bhaktivedanta Institute, was to demonstrate to people who do not have faith in anything spiritual, that even by scientific methodology, one can come to the science of self-realization. He formed the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust with the aim of renovating the holy places connected especially with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Bengal and Orissa, and in this way preserving and promoting the glory of Gaudiya culture, with the aim of establishing Varnashram society to offer an alternative model of how to live human life. Srila Prabhupada set up farm communities for simple living and high thinking, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. In this way, Srila Prabhupada brought to the attention of the world, or wanted to bring to the attention of the world, the importance of cow protection. And he wanted to create a peaceful revolution whereby the misdirected and misguided human society could live peacefully in a cooperative society, a Varnashram, with Krishna in the center. He was, Srila Prabhupada was behind the a whole new art style where he engaged devotees from the Western world in painting pictures of Krishna's pastimes and depicting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in pictorial form. He also engaged some of his disciples in making diorama exhibitions to visually demonstrate the teachings of the Vedic philosophy. In what amounted to more than 6,000 letters, he managed his whole movement a major way he managed his movement was by writing letters. And he gave guidance to his disciples on all kinds of issues, on managerial issues, spiritual philosophy, personal issues. He became the subject of more than 30,000 photographs and more than 70 hours of documentary film footage, which was quite a lot in those days because home video photography was not very prominent at the time. It was not a common thing in the 1960s and 1970s. It was there. Some people had their cameras in which they would shoot video films, but it wasn't a very common thing at the time. He considered his most important contribution, which spoken about so many of his contributions, but he himself considered most important his books. He worked very hard to produce everything he did. He worked very hard, but even though he was traveling so much, pretty much every day he would put aside time, giving up sleep so that he could produce his books. And in this way, he authored about 70 books of the, many of them from the direct renditions of the Indian or the Vedic scriptures, translations from the highly complex Sanskrit language. Many important scholars wrote praise, they wrote favorable reviews of his books. It was actually something quite amazing. It was again unprecedented that such books could be available in the Western world. Even Bhagavad Gita, no one had presented. There had been many editions of Bhagavad Gita, but such presentations in such a scholarly way, with the Sanskrit verse written in the Nagari script, and then with transliteration and word for word meaning, verse translation, with a commentary following all the, not just some imaginary commentary, but strictly following the previous commentators. This was a work that a professional scholar would be considered highly competent to do this. And they'd have to do years of research to do this and have all kinds of facilities. And Srila Prabhupada was doing it while traveling around the world, being involved in so many things. He produced these books. The Encyclopedia Britannica wrote about his books that they have astounded literary and academic communities worldwide. He wrote his books in English, which was not his first, it was his second language. For the sake of publishing and coordinating his book production, he founded the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, BBT, in 1972. By 1976, over 55 million books, pamphlets, and magazines had been published in 25 languages and distributed widely throughout the world. 25 languages, remember at that time, the whole Eastern Bloc, as it was called, was cut off to the Western world. So many of the world's major languages, there was no scope for distributing or in Russian, Polish, Czech, Croatian, Hungarian, and many other such languages. And in this way, the BBT, in a very short time, became established as the largest publisher, by far, of the largest international publisher of Indian religious and philosophical texts, a position which it has retained to the present day. One printing alone of Bhagavad Gita as it is required 76 train cars to ship the required paper. It was in the printing industry in America, it was a sensation. 1 million copies of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Perfection of Yoga they also printed. And when they printed, and within 1 year they reprinted again. It was sensational. In this way, he brought the Vedic literature, which it was very obscure, and no one even knew that Srimad Bhagavatam existed, what to speak of Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he brought it to millions of homes throughout the world. He completed the entire translation and commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was at the time published in 17 volumes within 18 months. There was a professor at the University of Chicago, Department of South Asian Studies, Professor Edward Dimmock. He spent a lot of his life working on his translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita without commentary or just a few little footnotes, and he also didn't finish it before he died, and it was finished by his successor. And once he translated that, he got the BBT to publish just from his dictation, absolutely raw, 17 books in 2 months, which was considered impossible, but he got it done. So yeah, I mentioned he traveled around the world 14 times, visiting 24 countries, inspiring his followers, establishing, seeing new centers, making many public appearances and media appearances. He even went behind the Iron Curtain and entered Russia. And spending only 5 days in Moscow, without being allowed to have any public engagements, he planted a seed of Krishna consciousness that would soon spread throughout the vast territories of the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And he was, in this way, apart from sowing the seed of Krishna consciousness in the USSR, he was also instrumental in the downfall of that evil empire of communism. Evil empire was a term famously used by the President of the United States in 1983, Ronald Reagan, to describe the Soviet regime, much to the chagrin of the Soviets. Now, when I say that he was instrumental in causing the fall down of communism in the Soviet Union, in 1981, this was after the departure of Srila Prabhupada, but the effect of the Krishna consciousness movement was going on in the Soviet Union. In 1981, the magazine, which is called The Communist, which was the official journal of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union, it was reported that the deputy chairman of the KGB, which I don't know exactly what it stands for, but it's pretty nasty, he wrote that the three greatest threats to the Soviet way of life are Western culture, rock and roll music, and Hare Krishna. Yeah, I mentioned that. Srila Prabhupada, he traveled throughout the world, but he managed by letters, postal letters, and personally meeting disciples. He set up a whole management system. He supervised it. He got everything in order. He made the infrastructure of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that it could continue. From the very beginning, he set up a society and legally incorporated it. He knew that there should be some infrastructure, some apparatus whereby the movement can be propagated and perpetrated. It can remain. So any one of these achievements would be something huge. If Srila Prabhupada had only translated the Bhagavatam, what to mention the Chaitanya Charitamrita and so many other books, it would be something massive in the religious history of the world. What to speak of it being distributed widely and initiating so many disciples, making so many temples all over the world. Any one of these things he did would be a massive achievement, but he did all of these things. And he did it just in 12 years, in old age, in poor health, fulfilling the predictions of Shastra, of great acharyas, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His role in the religious of the history of the world is unique, unprecedented, inimitable, towering. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, millions of people have come to know about Krishna, who was not known except among Hindus. Millions of people have taken Krishna prasada. Millions of people have chanted, and even more have heard, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, he's saying that he brought real spiritualism, yeah, because it was widely considered in the West that Indian mysticism means something impersonal. But he brought the real essence of Indian spiritual teachings, that the personalism, transcendental personalism. Srila Prabhupada's gifts are not limited to a particular time. By his contributions, he continues to enlighten the people of the world in knowledge of their constitutional position beyond the modes of material nature, and by the contributions of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which he set up, he continues to give people a way of life which gives them real direction and real meaning in this otherwise depressing world. And his gifts will continue to be appreciated throughout the world for many generations to come. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated, Chaitanya Srishti e Prema Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's creation is Prem Sankirtan, the loving chanting of the loving congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced Prema Sankirtan within the world, Srila Prabhupada spread it throughout the entire world. Anyone today who is chanting Hare Krishna outside of India, and even most of them within India, are indebted to Srila Prabhupada for bringing this gift of Krishna consciousness, for giving this gift of chanting the holy names, without which they would not have had the opportunity to do so. So tomorrow we will be celebrating, that word is used, celebrating the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. I'll be talking about the use of the word celebrating. It might seem to be a strange word in this regard. The disappearance day of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And we can appreciate a little bit about his contributions by hearing about what he did, but most importantly, we can individually and personally appreciate what he did by examining our own hearts and how he has touched our hearts and continues to do so and continues to speak to our heart and cleanse our heart and purify our hearts. We are all individually experiencing the gifts of Srila Prabhupada. So, Hare Krishna. I started a little early and I've finished a little early. Yesterday I misestimated the time. Wrong one way, and then here it's misestimated another way. All right, so Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And after about half an hour, there will be Tulsi Arati. Huh? All right then. Hare Krishna. I would like to get this talk transcribed, if anyone would like to do that. Maybe I should have, you can put this in the recording, maybe you should have someone from the Western world. Maybe someone from the Western world could do it. Someone who knows English better than the average Indian. Because, you know, it's generally better known in England and America than it is in India. Yeah, so it can be done. Anta kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya trinakam padayane patyaskrit vacha ka kushatame tata hambravimi. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Goranga chanda charane kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukarona vayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madhira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.